verse 11 together. And not only so, but we also joy in God, our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Receive the atonement. Now that word atonement is used 59 times in the Old Testament, but only one time in the New. That's this time right here. That word atonement is katalogai in the Greek language. Katalogai. And that word means basically exchange. Exchange something. Black to white. Big to little and so on. In this case, it's changing the sins of all mankind to righteousness. Now that's the provision for the change. That's the provision for the atonement. It's not true unless someone accepts and receives and has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then they do receive this atonement. It's a wonderful thing. And in this verse, for instance, in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 21, for he hath made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, the whole world, not simply the hyper-Calvinist elect, for us, the whole world, who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is the atonement, the exchange, our sin, and made righteous by trusting Christ as Savior. In the Old Testament, it's very simple, in Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That's kafar, is the Hebrew for that. And John MacArthur, the man who's very well known and well almost worshipped, has it all wrong. It's not, to him, it's not the blood that makes atonement for the soul. It's the death of Christ. It's true, he died. But God considers the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to make an atonement, to cleanse us from sin. Now there are seven different things that we have because of verse chapter 5. Seven things are true. For instance, in Romans 5 and verse 1, we have received peace with God who trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, if we've trusted him. The second thing is in verse 2 of chapter 5 of Romans. We have access to God. Go ahead and be with him and pray to him and have access to his presence, at least in ourselves, in our souls. The third thing we have in chapter 5 of Romans, we rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Rejoice in the hope of God's glory. The fourth thing we have in chapter 5, verse 3, we glory in tribulation. That's hard to think about, but if we love the Lord, we can glory in tribulation to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The fifth thing we find in chapter 5, in verse 9, we have been saved from wrath, the wrath of eternal hell, the lake of fire, for Satan alone, and his evil angels as well. And those that do not trust Christ, terrible wrath of God. A sixth thing we have in chapter 5, verse 10. We are reconciled to God, drawn together and reconciled to his gracious person. And then the seventh thing, final thing we have in verse 11, we received an atonement, a replacement of our sin to trust Christ for his righteousness. Let's read verse number 12 together. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's the story of Adam and Eve. For instance, in chapter 2 of Genesis, verses 15 to 17, here's what God told Adam. And the Lord God looked upon man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, not just suggested, commanded the man, Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. You think that'd be wonderful? Why wouldn't that be sufficient? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Well, in chapter 3 of Genesis, Satan had another tactic. That was to Adam. He told him very clearly what to do, what not to do. So now he comes to Eve, Genesis 3, verses 5 and 6. And the serpent, that old devil himself, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, I told Adam first in chapter 2, now he comes to the woman Eve and tells her something. He said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Which he had, he said that. So Eve said, oh, that's right. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but, she got that right, of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat, neither shall ye touch it. I don't know what they said about touching, but shall not eat of it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for hath God said, he hath said that he knows that the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall see, be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her. He knew it was wrong, but he did eat also. So that's the situation. The eating of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Now, in Isaiah 14, it talks a little bit about Satan, the devil himself. Thy pomp is brought down to the ground and to the grave. And the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under the tree, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That's what Satan was called. God is bawling out Lucifer here in Isaiah. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Again in Isaiah 14, verse 15, thou, speaking of the devil, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Another verse, again from Isaiah, to the devil, who caused man and woman to fall into sin. Isaiah 14, verse 17, that hath made the world as a wilderness, destroyed the cities thereof, open not the house of the prisoners. That's all Satan says, keep them in prison. And then another verse about this is this, 1 Timothy 2, verse 12 to 14. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't want to be separate, a different type of a person than his wife, and so he did eat thereof, so they could both be at least equal. If he had not eaten, if he'd been lived forever, and Adam, Eve had died, he'd be partnerless, without any partner, whatever. Adam was not deceived. He was first formed, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So these are the pictures of what has happened to Adam and Eve in the fall of man. Let's read verse number 13 together. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. We did read 12, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, sin is in the world, but it's not imputed when there's no law. For instance, Cain slew Abel, but he was not killed. There's no law to say thou shalt not kill. So he was let go. He was sent out. But in Numbers 35:31, however, when the law had been made, moreover, he shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer which is guilty of death. he shall be surely put to death. The law had been put in place, and now you kill somebody, you're put to death. At least in the Bible times, now you kill somebody, you just go free, don't even go to prison sometimes. It's a sad thing indeed. In Genesis 9 and verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. The law had come, and now he has to die if he sheds any blood at all. Let's read verse number 14 together. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even after those who did not sin, at the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who was to come. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45, for example, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. So Adam was the first runner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a personal figure of the first one, but the Lord Jesus is the last Adam, perfect and sinless, without any sin of any kind. Let's read verse number 15 together. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the great life of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto men. So it compares the sin of Adam, taking every one of us into the area of sinners, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world, and offers them eternal life. If they trust him, they receive his offer of eternal life. And not as Adam, receiving initially death, physical death. Let's read verse number 16 together. And not as it was by one that sinned, so as a gift. For the judgment was by one condemnation, but the free gift has many offenses and justification. Under condemnation because of Adam's sin. In Matthew 20, verse 18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the chief priests and into the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death. He was condemned to death. And Judas Iscariot pointed him out, as you know. Then in Luke 23 and verse 40, this was the thief on the cross. And the other answered. Now one thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The second thief said, the other one, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God? For thou, seeing thou in the same condemnation, he was dying and didn't you fear God? But he, no, this first thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, this shall be with me in my glory. In Romans 9, 8 and verse 1, Romans 8, 1, again a verse on condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. We know that one. With judgment to any Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus, trusting Him as our Savior, accepting Him as our Lord. And then there's justification to those that trust the Lord Jesus Christ, as it mentions in this verse. For instance, Romans 4 and verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Faith counted for righteousness in God's sight. And then again in Romans 8 and verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Those that have trusted Christ as Savior. It is God that justifieth. Justifies us by genuine faith. And then in Galatians 3 and verse 8, the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. The faith of Father Abraham, a blessed thing, bringing us justification by genuine faith. Let's read Romans verse 17 together. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more than they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Reigning by one. Life. That's the title of the message this morning. We can, if we trust Christ, receive life, eternal life. There are five verses here. There's five more verses in verse 21, the last part of our section, about life, eternal life in Christ. For instance, in John 1:4, in him was life, eternal life, in him. And the life was the light of men. The second verse, John 3:16, which you all know, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. The third verse, John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. He hath everlasting life, and shall not come in condemnation, but is passed from death to life. He that believes on the one that sent me and believes in the Lord Jesus shall have everlasting life. Then a fifth verse in this section, in John 10, verse 28. If you know what I said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Very tremendous verses. On life, eternal life.
And no man is able to pluck them out.
Oh, did we say that more than that? Oh, I'm sorry. That's another verse in the same context. All right, then in John 3, verse 15. And kissed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Who was it that kissed the Prince of Life? It was Judas Iscariot. Kissed him to identify him in the garden. Then a seventh verse, Colossians 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. All these verses, and that life is the people who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, who is their life. Trust him and believe on him and receive him as their Savior. Let's read verse number 18 together. Therefore, as by the offense of the law, judgment came upon all men for condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men for justification of life. The Lord Jesus gave us life and a gift of life. For instance, in John 4, verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, that's the Lord Jesus himself in salvation, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. That's the woman at the well. We mentioned that in John chapter 4. Then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, another verse on gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the gift of eternal life. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Lord Jesus is his unspeakable gift. The Lord Jesus is the eternal life by faith in him. And then one more verse on gift, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. We know that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We can't work for it. Eternal life is a gift of God. And that's the end of things. Let's read verse number 19 together. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Made sinners by the disobedience of one, Adam himself. Many verses on sinners in Matthew 11, verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. That's what they accuse him of. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. I'm glad he is and was a friend of sinners, as well as publicans, that he came to save the sinners of the world who trust him generally and implicitly and wonderfully. Then again in Mark 2 and verse 17, another verse on sinners. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came to call, or not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Those Pharisees who think they're so righteous never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, were sent to hell. But he came to call those that realize and know that they're sinners to die for them in that place. Then in Romans 5 and verse 8, we know this one, let's say it together. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for sinners, all our sinners. Some don't think they're sinners, they think they're righteous. He died for them, but they won't accept him, therefore they're lost. Righteous people who accept him. Sinners who don't accept him are lost too. He came to die for sinners. Those who trust him as their Savior, believe on him, and have faith in him, are saved and made righteous by his shed blood. And then in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, I think we know this one. If we're going to say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul realized he was one of the chiefest of sinners, dying, killing people, and putting them to death, terrible, before he was saved. And chief of sinners. Let's read verse number 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace. Many verses. Some 16 verses I'd like to mention about grace. Grace is getting something we do not deserve. God gives it to us, although we do not deserve it. It's his grace. For instance, in John 1:14, we know this, we'll say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, giving things that we don't deserve. He's full of grace. A second verse on grace is John 1:17. We perhaps know that one. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Giving us something in order to came by the Lord Jesus, not the old law of Moses. A third verse in Acts 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, giving things that we do not deserve. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And a fourth verse, Romans 3 and verse 24. We know that one, I think, but I say it again. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. A fifth verse, Romans 5 and verse 2, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in his grace. A sixth verse in Romans 5 and verse 15. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's old Adam himself, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Grace, the Lord Jesus, when he trusts him, has abounded everyone that receives it as their Savior. A seventh verse in Romans 5 and verse 17. We know that one, believe it, say it. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the light by one, Jesus Christ. Abundance of God's grace, giving us something we don't deserve. An eighth verse in Romans 6 and verse 1. If we know it, let's say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Okay. Grace should abound, giving something we don't deserve, and don't continue in sin. A ninth verse in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. I think we know this one. Say it. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor,
that he through his poverty might be rich.
Through your sakes, the sakes of all the sinners of the world, he became poor, came into this world, perfect God, perfect man, and died for the sins of the whole world, and made us rich. He became poor that we might be rich and have eternal life. The tenth verse in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, by the glory of my greatness, that the power of Christ might dwell upon me. The Lord Jesus gave us his grace and his power indeed. Let's read this next verse, if you find it here. And that's the 11th verse, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace. God's forgiveness is because of his grace when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. The 12th verse, Ephesians 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, I say, giving us something. We don't deserve grace. We don't deserve his salvation, but he's given it to us. A 13th verse in Ephesians 2 and verse 7. That in the eyes of the ages to come, he might show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. It's through Christ Jesus that he gives us the riches of his grace to no other person in this world. And then in the 14th verse, Titus 2 and verse 11. For by grace, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. It's appeared to all men. It's provided for all men. But it's the possession of all those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by genuine faith. And only by those. But the provision is made. The provision is made. And then in 15th verse, Titus 3 and verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. One last verse, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy, and have grace to help in time of need. This is what God has given to us. His grace is abundant indeed. And then, let's read verse number 21 together. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Five verses on this eternal life. And the title, as we mentioned, of our message, eternal life is offered to you, to everyone. Offered, but possessed only by those that accepted and received Christ as their Savior. In John 1, 3, verse 15, first verse, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is offered to those that trust in the Lord Jesus himself. The second verse, John 6, 66 through 68. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. They just left him. Didn't care anything about him at this particular time, John 6. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also, these were many of them, not the 12 disciples, said unto the 12, will ye also go away? He asked them, the closest that he ever had, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter said something, usually is right, quite right, usually says things that are questionable and wrong. But Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He knew that the only one that had the words of eternal life was his Lord Jesus Christ. He answered properly there. And the third verse, John 10, verse 28. Well, you know that. If you do, let's say it. The Lord Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man cut them out of my hand. Never perish, and no one can take them out of that. A lot of people teach that genuine Christians, when they sin, have lost their eternal life. That's false. Arminians teach that. Methodists teach that. Many people teach that. But he says, I give it to them eternal life. Eternal is eternal. Never ends. I talk to a gentleman sometimes on the phone, and he sometimes says, have I lost my eternal life? Have I lost my salvation? I said, no, you cannot ever lose your salvation. You can lose your fellowship with the Lord by sinning and the old nature rising above the new nature. But that's not losing salvation. That's losing fellowship. said you never could be saved by grace, the period of our teaching him, that eternal life is eternal. That was Titus 2, wasn't it? Or Titus 3?
No, we're on the third verse, John 10:28.
Oh, on the third verse. Okay, I got the wrong chapter. John 10:28, the Lord Jesus said, and we know this one, I'm sure, let's say it together. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is what is true and what we shall never doubt in any kind. And don't let sin, either what's around you or sin in your own life, claim that you can lose your eternal life by your sin. The first thing you should do is to take 1 John 1:9, understand it first, then follow it. Let's say it together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we have sinned, and we sin all the time, we come to 1 John 1:8, and we understand. First, if we confess, homo logeo is the Greek word. Homo is the same. Logeo is to say. To say the same thing about our sin that God says. Agree with God that we have sinned, and then and only then. He's faithful to forgive us, and he's just to forgive us. The Lord Jesus died for those sins. And that's the way we keep in fellowship with the Lord and never lose our salvation. The wages and the gift of God, eternal life. And then the fifth verse, 1 John 5 and verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. What could be simpler or easier to understand than these verses that talk about the Lord Jesus Christ giving, able to give sinners and those who trust him eternal life and take them to heaven, to God's glory, as you say to my wife, eternal life, in his presence forevermore. Is there any of those in this congregation this morning that have never accepted the Lord Jesus, had genuine faith in him, I trust that you'll do that, and those in the internet land. There are hundreds and thousands, I'm sure, that are listening to us. We don't know who they are, but if they're lost, if they're not Christian people, we urge them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that offers him and them eternal life by genuine faith in him. It's a wonderful gift, and I've got it since I was 16, never lost it. And praise God for it. Let's close in order of prayer. Our dear Father, we do thank and praise thee for thy grace. We thank thee for these verses that we've looked at. Thank thee for the eternal life the Lord Jesus offers everyone that accepts him by genuine faith as their Savior. Wonderful gift. We thank thee for it. The offer, we ask thee, Lord, for those that have not accepted that offer, to accept them right now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymnals again and turn to hymn number 520. Day by day.